Today, I have with me on Castle Country Focus, Mark Seeley, who years ago, as a teenager, spent several weeks living among the Amish people. Now, Mark currently is a maintenance technician at the Hunter Power Plant and keeps everything running so we continue to have electricity. So, welcome, Mark, for taking the time to join with us on Castle Country Focus.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you. I'm honored that you had asked me to tell some of my story.
Well, I don't know that very many people have actually experienced the Amish short of driving by their buggy when they were back east sometime. Tell us about it. How did you come to get to know them?
Well, because they have kind of stopped their progress in the 1800s, and this is how we became acquainted with this particular family. Their oldest son named Abe then that fall wanted to come here to Utah and go deer hunting. And so he was 20 years old at the time, and I was just 14. And so we went up into the mountains and took some hunting trips in our mountains here in Utah. Now, they don't believe in flying, and so he came out here on the train. That gave my dad and I the idea that we could go back there and live with them for a couple of weeks. And so in 1990, when I was just 15 years old, my dad and I got on the train in Helper and traveled back to Fort Wayne, Indiana, together. And we spent 2 weeks working with them in their cabinet shop and of course, driving teams.
Before we go too far, did you get any deer?
No. He got a couple of shots at some deer up here in our mountains, but he was not able to kill a deer while he was here.
I was just wondering what kind of hunter you were, that's all. Go on.
Not very good, I guess. We got a couple of shots, but didn't get a hit. This was a really enjoyable experience, being back east with my dad at 15 years old. And when the families in the area heard that we were there, people would say, well, we're putting up hay at our house tomorrow. Why don't you come over and help us? And then another family, well, we're going to have a singing at our house. And this is a gathering where they get together and sing a cappella. There's no musical instrument. And so we would get together and sing a cappella at someone's home. And the other people, other people in the area would invite us over for dinner or whatever. They just loved their friends from Utah. And it was really an interesting experience because we didn't talk to them about religion or anything. We were interested in their lifestyle because we're farmers and they're farmers. We enjoy teams and wagons. And of course, they have teams and wagons and buggies. And so
in the cabinet shop, were they using electrical saws and stuff like that?
There were only two pieces of equipment that were electrical in the cabinet shop. That was the shaper and also a router. And those two pieces of machine they explained to us that they need to rotate at 3,000 RPMs. And so they did have a little generator, electrical generator, that sat out back and ran just those two pieces of equipment. The rest of the shop equipment was run off from line shafts. They had a diesel engine that turned a line shaft with belts and pulleys. And so everything else, the band saw and the table saw and the drill press, these were all run off from belts and pulleys off from a line shaft from this diesel engine that sat outside the shop.
How many people worked in the cabinet shop?
Oh, I would say 10 or 15. There were several, family members, cousins and relatives of this particular family, and then there was other close neighbors, all Amish people. And they sold their cabinets for a high price up in the Detroit area, which is just north of Fort Wayne, Indiana. And they serviced the people that were the wealthy that could pay the higher price for these handcrafted cabinets.
Now, you're obviously a teenage boy at this time, and you went back the next year. So what was it like being among Amish teenagers?
Well, let me first say that I was pretty nervous flying back there alone. I was 16 years old, and as I look back on it, I'm amazed that my parents were that courageous. My dad drove me to the Salt Lake Airport, and we got a little map of the Chicago O'Hare Airport, and we went to the desk, I guess the United Airlines desk or whatever, and they circled what gate I would come in on and what gate I would go out on so that I knew exactly where I was going to get through the O'Hare Airport, one of the largest and busiest in the world. And then, of course, we had to have someone meet me in Fort Wayne, and so the Amish people had a neighbor that had a van, and they hired him to drive into the airport and pick me up. So this was when I was 16 years old. Living among the Amish as a teenager is kind of interesting. There was one of their neighbors that had put a ghetto blaster in the front of his buggy, so he could actually put tapes in there and jam to the music. Of course, it was battery operated, but he was living on the edge, we all thought.
The horse didn't mind it?
No, the horse didn't seem to mind the rock music that he was playing. It was kind of funny to have him bounce down the road in that buggy. Also, there was a couple of buggy races that I was in made me nervous. One of the funnest experiences was going to the drive-up window at Dairy Queen in a buggy. That's kind of... We also went canoeing on a nearby reservoir. And let me see, did I mention we played a lot of basketball on their cement pad where the burnt down cabinet shop used to be? They put up a basketball standard at each end, and so we could play full court. And they were big fans of the Indiana Hoosiers. So when March Madness would come around, some of the Amish would actually rent a hotel room so that they could have a television to watch the playoffs. So there's teenage rebellion even among the Amish.
Have you kept in touch with the families? What's happened to them in the intervening 20 years or so?
Well, I have mixed feelings about what has happened. While I was there, let me tell this story, and then I'll get into what has happened. Each evening, we would sit around and play some games. Usually it was Monopoly, was one of their favorite games. But one particular evening, the daughter said, okay, everybody's going to take a bath tonight before we play Monopoly. And I thought, what in the world? How can we do that? Because I'd been using the outhouse to use the bathroom. The outhouse was out by the cabinet shop. I didn't know that there was a bathtub anywhere, and this is when they showed me underneath the stairs in their parents' room was a bathtub that was hidden away, and also a toilet, a flush toilet, inside the house. They said, well, we're not really supposed to have this, but it doesn't make good sense for us to just have to use the outhouse in the middle of the night. So they had good logic, in this particular family, but it was apostasy because it was against the rules of the church. And so even while I was there, this experience let me in on a little bit of what was happening, that they weren't totally agreeing with all of the rules that the Amish, that their particular congregation had.
Now, this is the bathtub and a flush toilet was against the rules.
Yes.
Okay.
In this particular congregation, and let me say this, there's no hierarchy within the Amish religion. The highest authority is the bishop. The LDS people, a head of a congregation is a bishop. And so they had several heads of congregation. But anyway, he and his two counselors made the rules for their congregation. And so if you don't like having, you know, a stationary baler and you'd rather have a baler that can go out in the field and be horse-drawn, you just move to a different community of Amish. One of the most ridiculous rules is where you can have a tractor, but you must have iron tires on the tractor. So an Amish farmer will go out, buy a brand new tractor, and then he has to spend all this money taking the rubber tires off and welding together iron tires to go on the tractor. So, my thought is, at least you can have a tractor in that particular congregation.
You know,
some of them could only have teams of horses. So anyway, it's interesting, the rules. This particular family in Fort Wayne, Indiana, has now left the Amish church, and they've started up their own non-denominational Christian church. So they have more of the modern conveniences. And so we haven't really got into the detail of how their lifestyle has changed since they left the Amish church.
Thank you, Mark, for visiting with us and giving us a glimpse on a culture that we don't see very often out here. Thanks again.
You're sure welcome. It's been a pleasure to be with you.